Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. My name is Lisa Urbanski, and I am a co-host on the show. Super excited. I'm from Canada. Our guest is also Canadian. And navigating health insurance can feel like you're decoding a foreign language, but we're here to break it down with you. So, Lydia Molinera is here. She's an expert in all things health insurance. Basically, she's an expert in the medical system. She's a pharmacist. She has a podcast on our channel called Mom's Healthcare Navigator, and she really has a passion for medication safety, health advocation. And as I said, she's back here to talk to us about what the health insurance situation is like and how to navigate that because it's so complicated. And a lot of people don't understand, as she said before we got started, the fine print. And so stay tuned. She's going to tell us all the things. I just want to say a special thanks to our sponsors, Spreaker and iHeartRadio. Without you, this would not be possible. Welcome back, Lydia.
Thank you again for having me and to spread this awareness on this platform.
Yeah, it's great awareness to spread because even me talking to you, I'm from Canada, I'm 40, I've been in the healthcare system and I still don't fully understand it. So I've been gaining so much value from these conversations as well. And the last episode, we talked about the common healthcare errors and missteps, which was incredibly informative. And you really tapped on a lot of different things and tapped into to give a clear understanding of how we should be showing up in these situations and things that we might not think about. So, yeah, these episodes have been so amazing, especially for our Canadian friends out there.
Yeah, I really feel that a lot of this information has never been taught to us, and it's through experience that you learn it. But not everyone goes through the same experiences, and sometimes it's almost too late once you've gone through the experience. You wanted to know it ahead of time to prevent any errors or situations where you don't get an optimal health outcome. And so that's really what my passion is to help moms who are primarily caregivers to really know how to navigate healthcare and what that looks like when you're entering the system. So whether that just be to your doctor's office or the dentist, there's so much information. And it's not to say that we're all going to become healthcare professional experts. It's just navigating it, knowing which questions to ask so that you feel calm and confident when you enter the healthcare system rather than stressed and worried. It's really what I'd like to accomplish.
Yeah, well, it's working for me. So I imagine our listeners are feeling a lot more confident too. I love the topic for today. I bet you a lot of people are going to get a lot of questions answered as you go through this topic. So we're talking about navigating the health insurance journey and, avoiding common pitfalls. So why don't we start with touching on the basics of health insurance?
So basically, depending on where you live in the world, you're either going to fall into a category where the government provides certain services free or not out of pocket, and or you're going to have a situation where there's a dual system where you have certain things that are free and covered and certain things you have to pay for. And depending on where you live, in America, we know and we've seen a lot of information about health insurance denials on claims. There was whole controversy around the whole anesthetic going to be operated on. And then, it's past your 2 hours. So now your anesthesiologist isn't allowed to bill for his time. I mean, crazy stuff like this, which fortunately they retracted. But when you have health insurance, it's really important to understand what is your coverage. It's just like house insurance or car insurance. There's different levels of insurance and they're going to cover different things. So, does it cover surgeries? Does it cover dental? Does it cover eye appointments? Does it cover, hearing tests? Does it cover basic physician, visits? And then you have to ask, that's the base. What is it covering? And then you have to figure out limits. So, what is the deductible? What is the deductible? So, what does that even mean? So, the deductible is how much do you have to pay every month? It's just a fancy word for what's the fee for this insurance every month. And sometimes, if it's an employer who's paying, it depends. It could be a 50-50 split. The person that you're working for, the company is going to pay 50%, and you have to pay the 50%. That's the fee. The fee structure is the deductible. So that's the first thing you need to understand. What is it covering and at what cost? And how much do you have to pay the deductible? Then you get into copay amounts, which is a whole different thing. And the copay you have to consider is like that's the portion I have to pay over and above my fee. So if I go buy a prescription drug, I have coverage. My coverage is 80% for prescription drugs, 20% out of pocket. So my copay equals 20% for this product. My copay for x-rays might be 10%, 20%. So you have to look at those three things. What is being covered? What is the fee, which is the deductible? And what is the copay? And the copay is your as well out of pocket expense that most times does not include employers paying your copay. Sometimes you have 100% coverage. And so when you have 100% coverage, you don't have a copay, but you still might have a fee that you're, contributing to. So that's the three buckets. Then you got to look at the next phase is limitations. What are the limitations? The limitations is the amount of money that you're going to in that year of that policy or in the lifetime of that policy, you're allowed to get that service paid for. So for orthodontics, to get braces for your children, it might say your yearly amount or your lifetime of being on this insurance is $5,000. Doesn't matter how many kids you have, doesn't matter how many times you need braces, your max amount is $5,000. So you want to look at that because that's also important. So that's your
Can't go
fees.
over that amount, correct? If you
Right.
go
So
over, then you're in
That's
charge.
your limit. So they're only going to cover, let's say, for prescription drugs. Okay. So they're only covering $10,000 a year for prescription medication. Over and above that, the limitation, you have to pay anything over that for that year. And
I have a
that's out of
question
pocket.
for you. I, in the past, have gone to the pharmacy to pick up a prescription, and they said this particular drug is not covered by your insurance. Why does that happen? What does that mean? I've never quite understood, but they said we could give it to you in this brand and it will be covered. So, or it wasn't covered at all. There was a few instances. Can you explain that a little bit?
So that's reading the fine print. So we've gone through your buckets of fees. Now the next thing is, what is the fine print? So there is something that all insurance companies do. They have what's called a formulary. And what the formulary means is the list of things that they will cover in each section. So for medications, there's going to be what we call a drug formulary. And that drug formulary says these are the medications we're going to cover. Anything outside of that, we might make you pay a certain amount, or we might not cover at all. Or what they do is something called therapeutic exchange. What does that mean? This particular drug is called ibuprofen. Okay. That is covered. But if you're going to go buy the brand name Advil, not covered. Same drug, but two different manufacturers. So we see that if you're going to get a combination drug, so a drug that has a high blood pressure plus, let's just say, a drug for swelling, it's a combination drug, which means two drugs in one. Because it's still potentially brand name, won't cover it. But if you break it out into those two drugs, it could be covered. So you look at the drug formulary, you try and figure out, okay, well, I know I'm going to be on these drugs, which is A, B, C, and D. When you're looking at buying insurance, then find out, are those drugs covered? Because you might look at drug coverage and say, oh, wow, this is a fantastic plan. I get 100% coverage. That's only one piece of the puzzle. The second part is the drug actually on the formulary? you have to ask that question to make sure it's covered 100%, because it might not be. And that's where in the pharmacy, we get those questions, right? And so as a pharmacist, I've had people come in and, bring a prescription and say, "But my plan pays 100%. What do you mean I have to pay? It
I've
shouldn't
said
be
that
this way."
before. I've said that before.
Right? Yeah, and we're like, "Well, we don't control what your drug company, your drug insurance, which drug company and which drugs they're going to cover, but we only, we send it in. It's computerized, fortunately, now. So you put in the information, we put in your coverage details, goes to their computer and it spits back what you owe." And so that's where, understanding the drugs you're taking or that formulary is really important. The second piece to that is if you do go into the pharmacy and the pharmacist said, "Not covered, it costs this much," you have the option to say to the pharmacy, "Is there a medication similar to this that is covered?" Because if you can't afford it, better to get something that you can afford that's close to it than not take anything at all and could potentially have something go worse, right? A lot of times we do pick up the phone, call the physician, and say, "This isn't covered by their insurance. Could we give this instead?" And oftentimes, what we'll do in the pharmacy is we'll put in the name of the other drug, we'll mock it and see if it gets covered. And then if it does, we can have that conversation with the doctor and say, "Look, their insurance covers this medication. Can we switch it to this?" And sometimes the pharmacist, depending on which state or which province, they have the ability to do that. It's called therapeutic interchange. Sometimes their laws allow the pharmacist to do it. Sometimes we talk to the doctor. So don't give up hope when you're going there and it's like, "Wow, this is so expensive. This is a brand name." Because the other question you can ask is, "Well, is the generic covered?" And so the generic is a drug where once the drug company's patent, or like they're basically saying, "I have this drug for 20 years on the market and nobody can replicate it," once that runs out, then the generic companies make the same drug and it ends up being cheaper because they didn't do all the money for the research and a million other reasons, no marketing and that. So the generic is often cheaper, and a lot of places will cover the generic, a lot of insurance companies.
Question. I'm putting up my hand. I feel like I'm a student right now. So a few times I've gotten a prescription and then I've gotten the generic version because they were out of the brand name, but it looked a lot different. So are you saying that the brand name and the generic are exactly the same? They're just formulated differently, or do they use different binding ingredients, or are there anything we should know about the different formulations of the same drug?
Yeah, so the question be always proposed when you're at the pharmacy is the brand the same as the generic? And you'll get a pharmacist saying basically it's the same thing. The thing is I'm gonna say we got to break that down a little bit, because the brand name is made in a certain way. The generic is made in a certain way. And the reason why you can call it a generic and say that it meets the same criteria as the brand name is because something called bioavailability. When you take the generic, does it work very similar in your body to the brand name? And the answer has to be it has to meet 80% bioavailability. That's usually the round number. So there's still 20% where the generic may or may not have that full 100% exact method of working the same way. But when you start on a generic, typically that's how we monitor. If you started on the generic, then you're going to get the dose that you need in order for it to work. If you go from brand to generic, because now the insurance company won't cover the brand name drug because now the generic is available, which happens, you start the generic and you've got to be cautious. You do have to watch to make sure you're getting the same effect. You're not getting a rash from the drug. You're not getting any other new side effects because, like I said, it's not 100% exactly the same. And you're right. Some of the binding, some of the coloring, the way the tablet looks is different. So you want to also make sure that when you get the generic, that you know it is the generic drug name for your brand name, that there wasn't a mix-up in that, and that the look of that tablet, we talked about making sure you go on to drug, the manufacturer's drug site, or you just click on the name of the drug and click images, so you see that's the right drug. The other thing I would caution is there's certain disease states where if you're switching from brands and to generic or between generic drugs, you want to be really careful. Seizure medications, medications for blood thinners, we really the ones that need to be monitored closely, any chemotherapy medications, there's what we call a short window, a therapeutic window. And so what it means is in here, the dose works, up here, it's too much, and down here, it doesn't work. So that those drugs that have short therapeutic windows, I often try and say stick to one, whether it's brand or generic, and stick with that the whole way because you can and you might notice differences in how that affects your body. So knowing this in your insurance is really important because then if you have a clear idea of what is covered, you would want to start. Don't start with the brand name if a generic is available because you think, oh, my insurance covers the brand, so I'm just going to get the brand and that's what I'm going to do. Because at some point, the brand might even not make that drug anymore, the brand name company, because sometimes they do that. They're like, well, like we have many drugs on our shelves where the brand name isn't available. It's not made anymore. So I would try to start with a generic. It is going to be cheaper for you, but also you won't have that transition per se. So even if it's a seizure medication or something like a blood thinner, if you start on that particular generic, stick with that.
So before we move on to choosing the right plan, I just want to say you just validated my thoughts and feelings about an experience I had because I was taking a certain medication, the generic version, but the brand version I felt worked differently. So I was reacting to the generic version, and the person that was coaching me, and by coach, I mean like in the medical system, said that shouldn't be, it's the same drug. And I said, well, there's something going on here. And so I had an experience with that. And so just hearing that, like, it makes so much sense. So I appreciate you sharing that because I feel validated in my experience. Yeah, but I guess it comes down to the what drug it is as well, correct?
Exactly. It does depend on which medication. Like we do see there's differences. There's also inhalers where I've had asthma patients say to me, I do not want that brand. It does not work for me. And so you know your body. And I think it's really important, in your particular situation, you knew something was off and you tried to express that. And I feel that the system didn't exactly see or hear you, which
Thank
can
you.
happen, and so that's difficult. And it and when you're feeling that way, you do start to think, well, is this just me? But the bottom line is, if you do not have the correct feeling about how that drug is working, you want to go back. And I would suggest you speak to the pharmacist and say something's off here, because usually us as pharmacists, we've experienced this. We've heard people tell us that the generic doesn't work as well as the brand. This has been an ongoing discussion since generics have come through. And it's not just in your mind. There is a bit of difference. They are not the exact 100% same drug, but they will work. Like, it's not like it's one drug versus something completely different. We're not talking about it being, ibuprofen and then it's a high blood pressure medication. That's not the case. They're the similar bioavailability is what determines how it works in your body.
Yes, amazing. Thank you so much for clarifying that. And so now let's move on to choosing the right plan. I know you touched on like the deductibles and stuff like that, but is there anything more to add about choosing the right plan? How do we go about that?
Well, you really want to make sure as well you look at the coverage details as to who's being covered. So, what I mean by that, your family. So, if someone is 21 or about to turn 21, or does it go up to 25 years of age, or if they're only in university? So, that's something to consider. When you look at, is the spouse covered? Is the all the children's covered? And what does that look like? If you have three children and you know that you're going to have dental appointments, what does that mean? If the max for dentist appointments, fees are going to be $1,000, well, if you consider three kids and a cleaning every year for all five of you, that might be gone in with two people going to the dentist. So you do have to consider the plan for the entire family and what medications is the entire family taking. And sometimes, you can't predict these things. So you might not know. I start with one insurance company and this is what I think the plan will work for. But now, lo and behold, I've got another child and now this is added in. So you want to find out if your insurance plan has flexibility to add services or to expand the services. And at what cost does that look like? Does it mean you're trapped in the sense with that insurance plan for the year, or can you upgrade or change? You want to know that as well, because that flexibility, life changes. You might need that. So you want to understand that. And what fee does that look like for you if you're changing it?
Right, because that could be a really big added expense if you don't have that flexibility, because things happen all the time. So something I need right now, or something I might need in the future, I won't have coverage for right now. But if you can plan for those, I don't know, unknowns, how beautiful would that be?
So that's again right from the beginning and asking those questions.
Beautiful. So let's talk about the fine print, reading the fine print. What does that mean?
So there's situations where your insurance company, sometimes it would be cheaper if you just paid cash than if you put it through insurance. And so you really have to consider what is covered and what isn't covered. So when you're in that situation, here's one thing. Always keep your deductible card with you. Keep a picture of it. Make sure everyone in your family has it. Your babysitter, your nanny, your mom and dad, the grandparents, everybody has a copy of your insurance card with the front and the back where the phone numbers are. So if you're faced in a situation where you have to go in and get an X-ray done, or you have to do this extra thing that's not normal, you want to make sure that you call and ask the question. I just want to know what is my coverage on this service? Because if you can figure that out beforehand, sometimes, they'll say, oh, well, it costs this amount of money. When you go to the desk and you find out, okay, well, how much does this X-ray cost? They'll say, do you have coverage? Your question should be, if I don't have coverage, how much does it cost? And if I do have coverage, how much does it cost? Seems odd, doesn't it? Because it shouldn't
Wouldn't
be
it
that
be,
if
it
you have
should be the
coverage,
same.
right? If you have coverage, it's somehow going to be more. But that does happen, and especially in the US. And it'll happen
Oh,
for like things like
wow.
ambulance. It'll happen if you're going into a primary care. So if you're going into a walk-in clinic or a primary care and you're getting an X-ray or you're getting a service like a vaccine, sometimes they're billed under the hospital system. And they're affiliates to a hospital. Even though you didn't walk into the hospital, the actual clinic is affiliated with a hospital. So it's considered a hospital fee. And so your
Wow.
insurance now is going to charge $1,000 for that X-ray or $1,200 versus if you went to an outpatient that's not affiliated with a hospital and it's only $100 and covered. So you need to make sure that that's part of the fine print when you go with your insurance to access these services. You want to find out cash versus insurance and how they're billing. Are they billing under a hospital affiliate or are they just billing under primary care? And it should be transparent, but unfortunately, it's not. And it's when you get the bill that you have to then backtrack and you figure this out. And that's the part of prevention almost in health insurance as well, that you want to be aware of and protecting your pocketbook because this happens after the fact and then you're stuck with the bill.
Wow. So you're saying that sometimes you can show up and pay cash because you're going to be paying a lesser amount than you would be paying with your deductible if you have insurance based on the structure.
Exactly.
Wow. My mind just exploded. That's
Yeah,
crazy.
is that nuts? Yeah.
That's absolutely insane. I
Yeah.
don't even know how that's allowed.
I know, and it can happen. So that's why you want to be really careful with understanding when you're accessing these programs and you're going and you're getting these things done, you want to understand your insurance at that point. Make the phone call. I have done this. I've been traveling, and I call the, you're supposed to call within 24 hours when you get the coverage on travel. And I have called and I said, I want to do this service. I want to do this. Is it covered or not covered? And they'll explain to you what is and isn't. And then that's how I've made my plan.
That's smart. Well, let's talk about maximizing preventative services. What does that mean?
So basically, what you want to be able to do, all insurance policies also have your preventative screenings and your preventative services that are allowed. Please take advantage of those,
What does
right?
that
You're
mean?
paying for
So,
them.
doctor's
So, like,
appointments?
yeah, doctor's appointments, you're going to be allowed to do a teeth cleaning once a year. X-rays for your teeth once a year. You can do your mammograms. You can do different services like, checking your heart. There's heart clinics that you're allowed to go to once a year. Things like that, your body mass index calculations. It depends on your insurance policy. Another thing that you want to look at, but when you know those things, look into them and do them. You might be able to get five massages a year. Well, take advantage of those things. You, in essence, are paying for them, or your employer's paying for them. Try and schedule those, book those, because they're preventative and they're also, you're paid. They're also part of your policy. And you would not believe how many things don't get done and they're covered. So, because we don't know they're covered, or we don't ask that
Right.
question. So, figure that out. It's really important. And I think that also, when you're looking at preventative screenings, you want to also know what is covered under your prevention screening. So, if you're going to go get your family's teeth cleaned once a year, which is what's recommended, is that covered? Right? Because that's one of your preventative screenings. Are mammograms covered? Are, yearly physicals covered? What does that mean? Are your labs yearly covered for that? So these are the things you want to ask. That's your, preventative, maximizing those preventative services really means all those things that you need to do for that year, as far as screening is concerned, are those covered, and take advantage of it.
Lydia, I'm so guilty of that. I did not schedule all of my massages. And when I found out I could, then I tried, but I still didn't get them all in. So I bet you like large percentage of the population doesn't take advantage of everything they're entitled to. The other thing though is that, after your probationary period at your workplace or whatever coverage you have, I remember getting like this long manual that explains all of the things, and it was overwhelming. So I focused on the things that I needed. So at that time, like glasses and eye exams, and then ignored the other stuff, and then didn't have a clue what I was entitled to. So it's a little overwhelming because those policy books, coverage manuals can be quite extensive.
And I would ask your employer, or even call the insurance company and ask for a summary of it, because they can provide that. So it's a really quick and easy reference guide so that you know. Because you're right. It's like getting a brand new car and you've got the manual that's 800 pages. Who is going to read? I want the summarized version, And we talk about fine print, but really understanding your access to the services that you need, that's what we mean. Get the summary, understand those key points for your family. And then that way, you can take advantage of all of these things that the insurance companies can do for you.
Amazing. So let's get into the common coverage gaps.
So when we look at that, really it's prescription medications, because that's usually where we see that, and as well as dental and eye appointments and hearing appointments, right?
What do
We
you mean by
should.
coverage gaps, though?
So coverage gaps is basically where something isn't covered. So there is going to be a portion you have to pay, something's not covered. And that's where you want to understand those terms we talked about in the beginning, your fees. Because every year, when you go to the pharmacy and you have a deductible, you're going to pick up your first prescription and it should cost $5, but you're going to be charged $100. And you're saying, well, I just picked it up last month and it cost me $5. Why are you charging me $105? And it's because your yearly fee is now kicked in. And so come January, this is a question we answer a lot because this is your deductible being now charged to you. So when you go to
Right.
your first massage appointment, you might have that. So these deductibles, that's when we talk about coverage. And then the coverage gap is when something is not covered. And how do you manage that? And what do you do? When something isn't covered, the prevention part of it is before you access, you call and ask. The second part of it is look at how that can be covered. And there's drug companies, when it's a brand new medication, it's brand name, they sometimes have sort of like what we call, coverage cards and ability to get the drug covered at the beginning to see if it even works for you. When you go to your doctor's office, you might be able to get a sample from the doctor. Might be 14 tablets, but at least then you know if it's working. So if there's medication that's brand name, especially because that's typically what won't be covered on formularies, you can ask the doctor if they have samples, number one. And number two, you can ask the drug company themselves, go onto the website and see. And then number three, you speak to the pharmacist and see if there's alternatives to that gap in coverage because it's not going to be paid for. Those are the three techniques that I would suggest be used if your insurance company isn't covering things. The fourth is there are many associations that do help, not-for-profit organizations that will help pay for certain medications. And I would go into the, your state and Google those things, which not-for-profit organizations or which organizations help to pay for medications, in California. And then it can come up with different ones and do your research there because they are available.
I didn't really realize that there's samples for prescription drugs.
Oh, yeah. Drug company have their pharmaceutical sales rep that will drop off samples to physicians when it's a new medication hitting the market.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's interesting. I never even, thought to ask for a sample before being prescribed something new.
Yeah, and that's a question when you get the prescription, is this a brand name or generic? And if the doctor says, no, it's brand new, it's a brand name, then you can say, do you have any samples? And they might say, no, but I can arrange for that or I can get that for you. It just all depends.
Right. Interesting. So, do you want to offer some advice on cost management?
So when we're talking about cost management, you are going to get a bill, right? And no matter what it is, if you're in the hospital, you're going to get a bill. If you're in the US or in some private insurance type situations, you want to look at the bill and you want to have an itemized bill. Okay. That's really important. Not just the summary, you want to have it itemized. Same thing when you go to the dentist office, have it itemized. Same thing when you're getting a prescription, glasses or anything. Have an itemized list. Why? Because in those itemized lists, you're going to see all the charges. And if something is like, I didn't get that. I don't know what this means. Ask the question so that you're clear. Why am I being charged this? You'd be surprised how many things sometimes don't end up on your bill. When you go to a restaurant, you're looking at the bill, right? I didn't order cheesecake for my dessert. Why is that on my bill? Mistakes happen. Sometimes people punch in the wrong thing. So when you're looking at cost containment or making sure that you're getting charged correctly, or even your insurance company is being charged correctly, make sure that you have that. Why is that important if your insurance company is covering things? Because of the limit, that limitation. If something is being charged extra now, then it potentially is adding to that bucket of limitation. And then before you know it, you're at your 10,000 and you think to yourself, well, how did I get there? So even if your insurance company is covering it, ask for an itemized list to make sure that the insurance company is billed properly so that it doesn't affect your limitations.
Beautiful. And I think that's a great segue into dealing with claims. So let's talk about health claims, health insurance claims.
So a lot of times we are very frustrated when we find out that we put in a claim after the fact that we've done it. Sort of the after part, and it becomes denied. So at that point,
Yes.
what I would do, right? Because it's so frustrating. It's like, what do you mean? I was supposed to be able to get my eyes checked, but now I can't, and now they're charging me this. I would pick up the phone and I would call the insurance company. And I know it's like, well, I don't want to wait on hold for 3 hours. Put it on speakerphone, clean your house, do a million other things.
Yeah.
It's worth the call if you can get it covered. How can you ask for it to be covered? Number one, knowing this information that it's not covered helps you to navigate the next time around because there might be something in the policy that you weren't aware of. But also number two, sometimes if you say this wasn't, covered, and I went back to my manual and I could see that it says that teeth cleaning is covered. I don't understand why. So then you can navigate that. Sometimes the fine print is to your advantage. And so it could be, oh no, you guys made a mistake. This should be covered because under the policy, it states that I'm allowed three per year. And this service happened January 2nd, 2025. So it's not in the previous year. But if they, put it in for the previous year somehow, then it's incorrect. So I would really make sure that if you're denied on a claim, you still call and ask why. It might be blaringly obvious, but if it's not, then call because it's going to teach you why it wasn't covered, number one. And number two, how do you prevent this from happening the next time?
I was in a bicycle accident and I broke some teeth. And I broke my teeth one day before my coverage kicked in at my new employer. One day. And I'm way too honest. And I'm way too honest. So I was not covered for like all this dental work that I had to get done by one day. It was so frustrating.
Oh my gosh, that would be frustrating for sure. Isn't that crazy how that can make such a difference? And it does. In the world of insurance, we've heard all of it and they stick to it because, at the end of the day, their business is not to pay.
Yeah, my pocketbook took a big hit that for after that accident.
Sure. Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch on both parts, your teeth and the pocketbook.
Totally, totally. Oh my gosh. So, Lydia could give us and our listeners some resources for assistance.
Yeah, so when we look at our resources, what we really want to do is, like, again, when we're talking about, making sure that we do the educate piece in preventative care, we talk about the education piece also in the insurance field because when we're navigating this, we really want to understand what's available to us. So look at comparing insurance companies, what does one have over the other? What is the deductible, the limitation, the copay? What is the formulary? How many massages? What is allowed in it? And what are the limitations? Compare them. Don't just look at one and think, oh, my neighbor gets this one and she said good things about it. Your neighbor's health might be completely different than yours. So you really want to make sure that you look at different companies. Now you might say, well, my employer's paying, and I only have this one policy that I can pick. That's okay. What you want to do then is explore the policy more and find out, like I said, if you can do additions to it. Or you might be going out and just purchasing extra insurance for yourself. So really understand what's covered, what isn't covered, and see what other plans are available to you. Sometimes credit cards have plans that you can opt into. And so look at those, explore those, see what the costs of those are, especially if you know that you're someone who is going to be you had braces, your one child has braces, you have another child, and you're thinking, okay, now it's coming time. They probably need braces. So try to plan ahead with some of that because that helps. The other part to resources is when you're looking at drug costs, speak to your pharmacist because they're a valuable information as far as which drugs are covered or aren't covered on your plan. It's a quick thing for us to check. And also check with drug companies, if it's a brand name, because they can provide you the resources like we discussed to cover a medication. And then last but not least, check your local, community, local not-for-profits. And also, if your hospital in the US is a not-for-profit, find out if they have compassion care programs where your bill can be paid for as well, because each hospital has to have certain amount of dollars to compassion care, and you want to look into those things so that you have at least an ability to find out if there's ways that you can save money and get the most out of your insurance.
Amazing. And so I'm going to ask you to provide us with a few tips before we sign off for the day. But before we do that, can you let our listeners know where they can find you, how they can track you down and tap into your brain?
Sure. So right now on my website, www.lydiamolinara.com, I am currently working on a advocacy, sort of basically a navigation course, and as well as the health journal, so that you have something to record this information in, and a little quick ebook on advocacy. So those are the three things that I'm currently working on where you can, expand this knowledge and information.
Amazing, amazing. And can you leave us with a few tips before we sign off for the day?
Number one, these are the tips that I always see in the sense of things I wish people would know. And number one is make sure that you bring your insurance card with you wherever you go, front and back, including traveling. If you are to travel, make sure 100% you understand what your insurance company will pay for, including any urgent or emergency situations. Number three, really, really do your research and look at the fine print. Get summaries and understand your deductible, your limitations, and your copay so that when you do experience a situation where you're relying on insurance, it doesn't let you down.
Amazing. I learned a lot today. Thank you so much for, showing up and being on the show and providing all of this knowledge to us.
Yeah, thanks again for allowing me to come on and share this on your platform. I appreciate it.
I love it. Love it. And to our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. If you guys have a question or a comment, feel free to leave them in the comment section of the show. And we'll be sure to ask Lydia on our next episode to answer that for you. But we really appreciate you tuning in. We're really excited for the next episode as well. So we appreciate you so much. Thanks again, Lydia. And to everyone out there, tune in. And I'm Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor signing out.